Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
The more we know about our enemy and understand his tactics and his mode of operation, the more we can find ourselves falling in line with the Holy Spirit and find victory through the Spirit in those situations.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicott, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Welcome on board, truth seekers. Glad for you to join with me this week, and I'm excited about what we're going to do today. I really am. I've spent some time looking over some thoughts and praying about what God would have us discuss today. We're going to be again in the book of Mark. Last week, we began to tie into the temptation of Jesus in Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. I didn't get nearly done with what was on my heart, but that's okay. We're going to do this at God's pace, amen? And so we're going to continue with that today. Now, if you have not been with us, just as a little side note, this is the eighth installment of our teaching on the Gospel of Mark. And if you've missed any of this, never fear, my friends. Do not fret, because God has given us the ability to upload these shows to the Truth Infusion website. And you get on there with your phone or your iPad or your computer, anything that'll stream, and you can listen to these in totality for free. All of them will be uploaded there just for you, waiting on you. The Lord's waiting on you to catch a hold of what He's been speaking to us through this infusion of the truth in the book of Mark, which I have been loving this study. I'm doing this in my personal study. We have a group that is getting together on the weekends, a small group, and we're studying this here, and then I'm also bringing it to you on the radio. So by the time it comes to you, truth seekers, I better know what I'm talking about, because I've already been over this a couple of times already. So let's get back again today to Mark chapter 1, and just two verses. It's very, very easy, simple verses, but so much to go through and discuss through these verses. But we're going to look at Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, where Mark spends two short verses speaking about the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. And let me read these. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Heavenly Father, we ask right now that you would anoint me to speak your words and your words only. God, send the teacher. Send us the Holy Spirit to do this. Get me out of the way. Remove me from this equation, Heavenly Father, because I know there's someone out there, and likely many people, that need to understand something about temptation today. So God, we ask that you would provide that teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. If you were with us last week, we did two basic things during our show last week, and I want to review those quickly and then spring right into temptation and what that means and study the word temptation a little bit. But last week, I taught you about the word driven. Mark said that immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. That word drove or driven is the Greek word ekbalo. And I told you that many times Mark uses this word, but all of the other times it's referring to Jesus driving a demon out of a person's life. When someone was possessed by a demon and Christ would come into contact with that person and cast out that demon, the same word is used here. So what does that have to do with this situation? The word means to throw out. to cast out, to drive out. And it's a powerful word. It's an impactful word. It's a very action intense, forceful word, letting us know that this was no suggestion. It was no, oh, by the way, Jesus, if you don't have any other plans, immediately after the baptism of Christ, the Spirit overwhelmed Jesus emotionally, spiritually, and even physically, and drove him into, now watch this, a harsh, barren, uninhabited, lonely, wild place. And so we spent much of last week discussing, would the Holy Spirit do that? Would he in fact send Jesus into 40 days of the greatest trial that he would ever experience on earth apart from the cross? Would he actually do that to Jesus? Well, he did. Would he do that to us? And the answer is yes. And then we discuss three quick points to go along with that. The first one, and maybe the most important one for you to hear, is that the Holy Spirit is more concerned with our character than our comfort. Why would he do that to Jesus? Why would he do this to us? Because he's more focused and concerned about our holiness than our happiness. You need to get rid of these preachers that are telling you that the God's desire and goal and all that he's going to do for you is make you happy and healthy and wealthy and pretty. Because he didn't do that for any of these folks in the Bible. And he's not going to just operate that way for us. He's going to do what, David? He's going to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to bring us to a place where we grow, where we learn, where we find out more about Christ, and where we become more like Christ. And sometimes that's in the wilderness, guys. I'm just being honest with you. And if you're honest with yourself, you will look back on life and you will say and you will know that when the hard times came and I went through those times, I was really more like Jesus on the backside than before I got into the wilderness. It made a difference in me. And he's willing to do that. He's willing to do that. And so it should be in some way for us a point of joy to know that we're going through something that at that time is a prospect for us to form a deeper and more effective faith. Secondly, I pointed out that God was more than willing at times when he knew it would be effective and fruitful to allow Satan and the enemy to tempt us, sometimes in a very personal and impactful way, just like he did with Jesus in the wilderness, just like he did with Job throughout that book, just like he did with Peter. Jesus told Peter that Satan has asked for you to sift you as wheat. And he went on to say, and I've already prayed for you, Peter, that when you return to me. Did you catch that? Basically, Jesus said, Peter has given Satan you to sift you. But when you return, you won't be the same. That's hard to stomach. But it doesn't make it not true. And then the third thing I brought out was that many times, these trials from the enemy, these tests from the enemy will come on the tail end, on the heels of our greatest victories, of our greatest breakthroughs. Jesus had just experienced water baptism in the Jordan with John. He had just seen the heavens open and the Holy Spirit indwelled him. He was baptized in the Spirit. And right on the tail end of that, right on the heels of that, he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness where he went face to face with Satan for 40 days. Pretty impactful, pretty important that you realize that this is the mode of the Holy Spirit and what God is willing to do to make us more like Christ. So today, I want to look at the time that Jesus spent in the wilderness. I want to see what that was all about. And the first thing I want to point out is this. Satan was granted access by God. The Holy Spirit, in effect, offered Jesus to Satan so that Satan could have his way with Jesus for 40 days. Let's look at this real quick. Let's look at our enemy. In the Hebrew, Lucifer is identified as Satan. That's the name in the Hebrew name, and it means the adversary, the one that stands against, our opposition, our enemy, the one on the other side, the one railing against us, the adversary, Satan. That's the Hebrew word. The Greek word for Lucifer is diabolos, the devil. The devil means the slanderer, the one who defames, the one who accuses. So I want you to maybe get a glimpse of what is Satan's purpose with Christ. What is Satan's mode of operation? Let me show you how this works. He is our adversary. He is the slanderer. The enemy has come into our lives, if we are Christians, to set up traps and snares and pits and to set up roadblocks. The goal is to help us come to a place where we choose the wrong thing and we fall. We give in to evil and we fall. We find ourselves face first down in the dirt. Why? Because when we find ourselves fallen, we begin to doubt. We begin to doubt, and the adversary is whispering, the accuser is whispering in our ear, you're no good. If you are a real Christian, you wouldn't be in this position. You wouldn't have done this again. Look at yourself. You're pitiful. You're sorry. Are you even saved? And we begin to doubt, and faith begins to erode away. And when faith erodes away, then we lose our footing in the kingdom, truth seeker. Because faith is the very currency of heaven. It is through faith that the Holy Spirit centers us and allows us to be open for Him to work in our lives. It is through faith that the healing comes. It is through faith that the deliverance comes. It's through faith that we receive the Word. Faith is the necessary object that we have to have in order to see our lives enhanced. We must maintain faith. It is the fight of faith, Paul told Timothy. And when Satan can put us into positions where our faith is eroded and brought down, then doubt sneaks in, then fear sneaks in, then we come to a place where condemnation sneaks in. And when you're a Christian living in doubt, living in fear, living in condemnation, then you're defeated. That's the bottom line. Then you're defeated. And many of you listening to this program today are defeated. You love the Lord. You're saved. I'm not questioning your salvation. Neither is the Lord. But Satan has done his job. The devil has done his job. The enemy has come and done their job. And we have chosen to fall to what they brought us. And now, through a series of events, we find ourselves defeated Christians. Here's the point. That is exactly what Satan was after in the wilderness with Christ. He didn't come to Jesus to be some gnat buzzing around his face, just some kind of irritant. He came to see Jesus fall. He wanted to see him in fear. He wanted to see him doubt, because if he could bring that, then he would be defeated. And so would you and I for eternity. And that's what he wanted. That's why he brought the temptation. So for a few minutes now, let's look at temptation. I want to do a quick study about this. I want you to see something here, not only about what Jesus experienced through the temptation of Satan, but what we experience daily. The more we know about our enemy and understand his tactics and his mode of operation, the more we can find ourselves falling in line with the Holy Spirit and find victory through the Spirit in those situations. The first thing I want you to see is this. This word tempted in verse 13, he was tempted by Satan, is in the Greek form that shows a continuous action and a constant onslaught. See, some of us have this picture and this mind idea that Jesus went into the wilderness and he fasted and he prayed in solitude, stayed before the Lord in prayer, and then at the end of 40 days, Satan came and tempted him three times. That is wrong. Satan tempted him continuously, constantly, like an onslaught, like an avalanche, like a pounding of waves that did not end for 40 days. Jesus did not come fasting and praying so that he could take on Satan at the end of the 40 days. No, he was fasting and praying so that he could withstand the onslaught of the enemy within the 40 days, inside of the 40 days. It was the fasting and the prayer that was allowing him to endure what was happening. You see, temptation, the word originally, before the Bible was even written, in antiquity, the word tempted or temptation referred to an experience that allowed you to search into something. It was like putting something under a microscope where you could get down inside of it and see what was happening on the inside. But as time goes on, our words change and develop in their meanings. And so by the time of Christ, and really more what we are used to today, the word temptation means to try something with the intention or to try something in order to search out the good or the evil, the power or the weakness inside the person. You get that? Let me give you an illustration. Picture a large square piece of fabric, about 3 foot square, and it's whole and it's perfect and it's pretty. I mean, make it whatever color you want it to make, you know, whatever texture you like, but this perfect square piece of material, this cloth. Now, go with a pair of scissors in your mind and begin to cut chunks in it. Slice here, a cut there, a piece missing off this corner. And really what you're doing is you're ruining this piece of material, but not just tearing it to shreds, just cuts, just a slice here, a cut there. When you and I were born, this is what the fabric of our lives looked like. It wasn't whole, and it wasn't perfect, and it wasn't untouched. We came here with cuts and with holes and with slices in the fabric of our lives, and all of our fabric came here different. Okay? I've got cuts in the fabric of my life where you have perfectly whole piece here, but you've got another cut over in this section where I don't have one. You see what I'm saying? Our fabrics look different. The damage to our fabrics is different. So here's what the truth is. This is the best way I can figure out how to describe it to you. You may have a tear in the fabric of your life in the area of drug abuse. And I may not at all. I may have a tear in my life in the area of jealousy. And you may not have a problem with that at all. The fabric of your life in the area of jealousy is perfect. And we may know somebody else who struggles with pornography, and they've got a tear in the fabric right there. You know what? We came with these tears, these weakened areas, these holes in the fabric of our lives. And here's what the enemy does to our kids, to us, at a very young age. They begin to tempt and to try and to feel out the fabric of our lives to see where do we have weaknesses, where do we have tears, where do we have holes. Maybe it's anger, fear, jealousy, whatever. And when the enemy finds these areas, you better believe that they go to work putting us in positions where the temptation in the areas where we are already weakened in our lives, so that we fall to those areas, so that we hurt ourselves, so that we destroy relationships, so that we hurt our families, so that we mess up our witness, whatever it is. The enemy knows where those areas are in our lives. They began looking for those when we were children. Look back, mom and dad, at your kids and see what they struggled with when they were kids. See what problems kept coming back to them. Let's start to get real about this. This is spiritual warfare. And the enemy's goal is to find, where are you weak? Where is your fabric torn? These are the places I'm going to come and exploit to see you fall, to hold you down, to break you down. And in the wilderness, Satan was doing his best to test the fabric of Jesus Christ in every way he knew how. Satan wanted to know just how good is he. Just how much can he withstand? Where are his weaknesses? And Satan tempts us for the same reasons. To see what point we will give in and we will respond with evil. You see, that's what happens when we fall to temptation. It means we finally get to a place where we walk away from the way of God and we respond with evil. When we fall to temptation, it's sin. It's evil. Come on, let's call a spade a spade. Satan knows if he puts this much pressure in the right point, in the right place, if he exploits us in the right way, then we respond with evil. Then we fall. And that's what temptation is. I want you to have a realistic look at this. That's what was going on with Christ. That's what's going on with your kid, your teenager that's struggling with sex, and you're finding it in letters, or you're finding it through emails or text. And the other teenager you had didn't have that problem, but this one does. I don't know why. Let me tell you why. He's got a tear in the fabric of his life in that place. And the enemy knows it. And they're coming at him with everything they have to break him down and beat him down so that he cannot become what God has purposed for him to be. But here's the good news. When we come to Jesus in salvation, the Holy Spirit begins to indwell our lives, and he goes to work, sewing up the torn areas in the fabric of our life, mending the holes. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes a while to mend up and bind up those kinds of tears. But that's what the Holy Spirit's job is, to take the red thread that represents the blood of Jesus and to begin to bind up and mend up those holes. And the good news is, the further we get down the road in relationship with Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to work more uninhibited, because we begin to walk a life of faith and walk in the Spirit, the more and the faster and the more efficiently he can do this for us. But it's a process. It's a process. And Satan tested the fabric of Jesus Christ with everything he could. Guess what? He didn't find no holes. He didn't find any tears. He didn't find any weaknesses. And at the end of that time, when Jesus dismissed him, he left defeated, knowing that the God-man was perfect and sin had no handhold on him, for there were no weaknesses and tears in the fabric of his life. What an amazing thing. Satan tempted him. Not only that, but in the wilderness, Mark says it was full of wild animals, boars, wolves, jackals, hyenas. I want to tell you this. One of the temptations Jesus had to go through was to see if he would give in to fear or to terror. It was a desolate land full of predators, full of hunger. The worst possible scenario. But listen, this was cool. When God gave me this, I thought it was amazing. The first Adam in the Garden of Eden was in a perfect environment, everything that he could hope for given to him by God, and he fell to sin in the perfect environment in Eden. But the last Adam, Jesus, withstood sin and displayed perfection in the worst environment possible. How much greater was the last Adam? Praise God! How much greater, how much better, Hebrews would tell us, is our high priest. Finally, verse 13 tells us, due to the spiritual struggle and the constant onslaught and attack, that God was constantly sending angels to minister to Jesus. This underscores to me how great this hardship was, how amazingly difficult this 40 days was, and everything that Jesus was undergoing. And they didn't bring him food because he didn't eat for 40 days, so this was spiritual food. This was a spiritual ministry that they were ministering to his spirit man. And he was withstanding, and he was enduring for you and I. And I want you to know that God, he knows what we need in our trial. and he sends to us what we need in those moments. If he did it for Jesus, he will do it for you and I, because he is a good shepherd and he is a good heavenly father that knows the needs of his kids. And just in time, the manna will come. And just in time, water will gush out of the rock. And just in time, the angels will come to minister. And when we walk through the trials, we'll be more like Christ. What was the outcome of this testing? You see, Jesus proved to the onlooking physical and spiritual world that he truly was the sinless, perfect Son of God with absolute authority. Satan and the demons that were watching learned a lesson that day. Because through this temptation, Satan found out that Jesus had no weakness, that sin had no power over him. You see, Satan threw his hardest punches at Jesus during that time. Everything he had, he gave Jesus all he could give him, and the Son of God deflected and blocked every swing of the enemy. Until finally Satan left running. The outcome was this. After this point, every demon that would recognize Jesus through the next 3.5 years of ministry would tremble at his very presence. But as for you and me, he never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. So just remember, when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in. No, no, no. You just hold on. My God will show up. And he'll take you through the trial again. Until next week, truth seekers, you keep seeking the truth. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. We'll see you next time.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.